Hello, everybody. My name is Eric Wright. I'm from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Today, I'll be talking to you about our package I've built over many years now to analyze big biological sequence data. So what is big biological sequence data? Big data is a controversial term, right? And what I mean by big biological sequence data is a format that looks kind of like this. It's usually a text file, and it has DNA sequences. This particular format's called FASTA format. And these DNA sequences can be the size of genes, so thousands of letters, or they can be millions of letters, the size of genomes. And you can have tens to millions of sequences in a file like this, and so you can easily approach many gigabytes or even terabytes of DNA. The reason why we have so much of this DNA is because the cost of sequencing has dropped really dramatically in the past few years. What this shows is the cost to acquire a million base pairs of DNA going back to 2001. And you can see that the rate at which it has dropped has basically gone super exponential, outpacing Moore's law. And I started thinking about this package around the time you see that huge drop there. It was like the floor had just fallen out from underneath the biologists. We were able to get so much DNA, it was shocking. And you can see now we're on the order of pennies to get a million base pairs of DNA. So this is really big data. We can take this same curve in green here, and basically all I've done here is rescaled it to gigabytes per dollar. Okay, so now we're on the order of you can get 100 megabytes, so a tenth of a gigabyte per dollar, and this is on a log scale. And what I'm comparing it to is the cost of hard drive space. So in purple is hard drives, and you can see that the green line has dramatically outpaced the purple line, right? So sequencing is catching up with hard drives, and it takes about a gigabyte to store about a gigabase, roughly. So the question is, what's going to happen in the future? So if you project this green line, you can see that at some point, and you might not agree with my projection, that's totally fine, but I think it's fair to say that sometime in the next decade, perhaps impossible to determine at this moment, these two lines will cross. And that's the point at which it will cost just as much to buy a hard drive to store the sequences as it will to sequence that much DNA. So I think we're gonna be there, and when that time comes, we wanna be ready for it. But we're not there yet. As you can see, you can still fit the amount of sequence that we can acquire into memory space, right? So biologists haven't had to figure out ways to deal with this yet, but we're right at the cusp now where people are having a hard time fitting it into memory. And so tools like the one I built, I think, are going to be really useful going forward. This increase in sequencing has outpacing hard drives has been termed the real cost of sequencing. So basically the idea is that in the past, you when you did a project, the amount of effort it took or money it took to get sequences was a huge fraction of the project. And now it's a much smaller fraction of the project, but the amount of effort or money towards managing the sequence has really increased a lot since the past. And I think there's two possible ways this could go forward. One is that data management could just become totally overwhelming, and we could spend all our time dealing with how do you deal with this much data. And the other future is that we could possibly, even though sequencing is increasing so rapidly, we could figure out a way to deal with this. And data management would shrink as a fraction of our effort relative to now, and instead we'd be able to spend more time on analysis. And so that's really the goal here. But if you're willing to use other people's data, this problem is acute at the moment. So sort of the future is now, if you're willing to use other people's data sets. The government has these huge repositories of data. What I'm showing here in blue is the increase in the amount of genes available to you in the GenBank database, and in orange is the whole genome sequences, okay? And you can see that orange is starting to outpace, genomes are starting to outpace genes in the recent past. And now we're on the order of being able to acquire a terabase of DNA, no problem. So you can go on the internet right now and download a terabase of DNA. It's a non-issue. So the question is, how do we handle this much DNA efficiently? And something on the order of a billion sequences of the length of genes, so that's like terabases, or something on the order of a million genomes, like microbial genomes, on the order of 10 million base pairs, which is also a terabase. How do we efficiently handle that? And so I'm going to show you the solution I've developed. but before I show you that, I want to show you what a typical biological workflow looks like. So we start off with some sequences that come from the sequencer, and they're in a different format called FASTQ, and they contain quality scores. And usually what we do is we convert this to the FASTA format that I showed you earlier, all right? And then we put this into different programs, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. So you put this in a program, and then it spits out some results, and then maybe you put those into another program, it spits out more results, and you keep on making more and more and more files. Sometimes you know what those files are, sometimes you don't care about them. And you end up with a whole lot of files, and then eventually you want to convert this usually to some format like an Excel spreadsheet and get down to just a few numbers and make a graph and make your report. And the problem with this approach is that, as you can see, there's a whole lot of data redundancy. So one of the things that you go through with the sequence reformatting is lots of times you're just like removing the first few nucleotides, the last few nucleotides. So you make a whole copy of the file containing almost all the sequence information, but you've only changed it a little bit. And you're also, it's very disorganized. You're making all these files and using all these different programs that perhaps you don't have a full understanding of what they're doing, or maybe they just make a lot of excess files that you don't really care about, and that's clogging up a lot of space and making a lot of disorganization. So the alternative workflow that I'm proposing is you start off with your raw sequencing data, you put that into a database, and the database, then you can run analysis on that data. And those analyses can be stored as additional tables inside the database or additional columns on a table. And then that helps you to generate your report directly from those sequences inside the database. And this, if you're a big data person, is not a novel idea. You're like, of course, this is what you do. But if you think from a perspective of a biologist, this is a total paradigm shift. This is a complete new way of thinking about how to handle big data. There are a lot of advantages to this. So databases can have concurrent users. They're a reliable way of storing data. They have less redundancy depending on the implementation, and they allow random access. So you can say, give me the millionth sequence from a database, and you can do that. A database can do that really quickly. But if you had a file, you'd have to go scroll through all the sequences and count to a million, right? And then eventually you'd get your sequence you wanted. And they can be more organized. But the devil is really in the details here. So although I'm putting all this forward as a solution to this problem, it's really about implementation. And so that's the main thing that this R package does for you. So the R package is called Decipher. And basically, it's built upon this foundation of using databases for the future, so that we're going to be ready when we get all this data. It makes compressed databases. So these databases don't take up any more space than your compressed sequence file that you're used to working with. The type of database it makes are easily archived, so you can share them over email, or you can back them up really easily because they're flat files. They're just like a normal file. The entire principle behind Decipher is built on this idea of non-destructive workflows. So you start off with your original sequence data, you import that into a database, and then you can always get it back. So you can revert this process. So whenever you want, you can say, okay, give me my sequence data back, and it comes back to you without any changes. And the idea here is that curators of information like to protect the originals, right? And Decipher doesn't make it easy for you, although you could probably figure out a way to do it, doesn't make it easy for you to change any of that sequencing data, that raw sequencing data, because you want to store that long term. So what does this look like in practice? This is how you import sequences with Decipher. So you start off by making a connection to a database. So this is just basically constructing an empty database on your computer. And then you use a seeks to DB function, which is part of the Decipher package. You can give it an internet file, so sequences on a database like the NCBI is shown here, or you can give it a local file. That file can be compressed or not compressed, and Decipher just figures out what to do. In this case, we have to tell it that we're giving it a FASTA file. We want to import it into this database. And this particular file is human RNAs. So we're going to identify the sequences as being RNAs. And then Decipher tells you, OK, I imported 163,000 sequences in 51 seconds, depending on your internet connection, because this is from online. The problem with databases lots of times is that they're black boxes, so you really don't understand what you built. So Decipher has a function in it called BrowseDB that allows you to actually look at your database inside a web browser, so you can see what's actually going on. And if you use BrowseDB on this database that we just built, what it's going to do is open up a web browser and you'll see your database there. And each sequence is stored in the database having a unique identifying number. The identifier that we specified earlier, these are human RNA sequences, and then the description, and that comes from the FASTA file. Decipher also allows you to add additional data as columns, new columns to this database, or you can reset existing columns. So what I've shown here is just simply resetting the identifier column to the type of RNA that it is after we've imported it. And this is a really flexible design. So I get a lot of user questions, well, can I do this or that? And Decipher really doesn't have a lot of limitations. It's just a way of helping you store your sequence information inside a database and be able to do things that are really cool. Here's an example. So once we have this database set up this way, we can query it. So we can say, okay, give me all the known RNA sequences that have somewhere in their description this specific key that I care about as a biologist. And so it will construct for you a query and run that upon the database and then decompress those sequences they had stored earlier and return them to you. In this case, it takes 0.2 seconds to return 48 sequences, and it auto-detects that they're DNA sequences, and it returns to you an object, a container for those DNA sequences that's an X string set, which is a really popular format to work with DNA sequences and amino acid sequences and things like this. So you can store any kind of sequence in the database, and it will kind of figure out what those sequences are and return them to you this way. Once you've got those sequences, one of the most popular functions in Decipher is to look at them. So you can use BrowseSeqs to look at those sequences in a web browser. So it will open them up and in your web browser, and you can see here they're named by their unique identifying number in the database. And each DNA base is colored differently. So all the T's are colored blue. And there's all your sequences. So this is a really popular way to look at your sequences. Decipher does a lot more than just sequence databases, though. So it can do a whole lot of things I'm not going to talk to you about today because I don't have enough time. But the database is really the foundation for a lot of those things. So one of those things is alignment. So you probably have all done alignment before if you're a biologist, and lots of times you have to pull your sequences outside of R and then align them and then put them back into R. So for the first time now, we can actually align our sequences directly within R. So this is all published if you're interested in looking at it, but you can align your sequences and it returns to you an aligned X string set, and then we can take a look at that, and there it is. So now the sequences are aligned, and you can see the gaps. They're our new color here, and they all look pretty, like we're used to looking at them. So there's a whole lot of really powerful stuff that I'm just sort of glossing over here, but I hope you get the idea. So Decipher is... this foundation of using sequence databases has really enabled a lot of different large-scale analyses to be done in R. And one of the strongest things about it is it allows you to do analyses in pieces. So you no longer need to load all of your sequences into memory. You can just load subsets. Like you can load 10,000 sequences at a time and loop through your database. And I think that this is going to be the way of the future, that we're going to have to start going this route because we don't have enough memory to contain all our sequences. Decipher is really good at sequence alignment, and it's really good at designing oligonucleotides, so primers and probes. You can do things like manipulate sequences. There's a whole lot of different functions for this inside Decipher. You can create phylogenetic trees with Decipher. You can cluster sequences with Decipher. And you can map synteny between genomes. And this is really the direction I'm headed with Decipher, is going towards how do we compare a whole lot of genomes, like thousands or maybe tens or hundreds of thousands of genomes all at once. So there's a whole lot you can do, and I hope I've just motivated you to go take a look at it. So if you're interested, Decipher has its own website. This is how you get there. There's a ton of documentation about how to use it, and I hope that you're excited to do so. It only takes 2 lines of code to install it, like most bioconductor packages, so it's really simple to install from within R. With that, I'd like to thank all the people that I've worked on Decipher with throughout the years and the different funding sources I've had over that time. And thank you for your time.
So can the user design their own schemas, or is that all essentially obscured to make it as simple as possible for the user?
So that's a great question. So the question was, can the user design their own database schema? And the answer is no, not currently. That's all set up, and there's papers describing how the database is set up. The reason for that is it's evolved over a long period of time to basically allow for really fast access to the sequences. And there are a lot of different ways you could implement the same sort of concept, but it's evolved over time to be as good as possible. Although it's possible maybe in the future to allow users to do that. Yep. Sure.
Do you have what kind of data I can read in aside from a FASTA file?
Yeah, so at the moment you can read in FASTA, FASTQ, and GenBank files. In principle, you could read any type of text. So you could read in a library if it was formatted correctly. I don't know why you'd want to read in books, but you could, and store them in the database. If you're interested in other types of formats, let me know. I'm excited about implementing new features. So Decipher, what type of alignment program is this using? Decipher does its own alignment. So this is all written actually in C. And it doesn't go off and call muscle or anything like that. And actually, it benchmarks very well relative to other aligners. And I encourage you to look at the paper for that. It's all on the Decipher website.
Is there a logic for database indexing? How are there any database indexes built in there? And is there an algorithm to do that?
Yep. So the question was, is there a logic for the database indexing? The unique identifier associated with each sequence, if that's what you're referring to, that is an index key. So that's a unique integer index key, and that allows for really, really, really fast lookup. And the thing that I didn't show is it also allows Decipher to basically get the sequences really quickly too, because the sequences aren't stored in that primary database or primary table that I showed you. They're stored in a separate hidden table from the user, and those are connected through a primary key. And so that allows really, really fast lookup. And that's part of this sort of evolution that's resulted in this being able to do these kind of things, I think, efficiently. Sure. The underlying database is SQLite. And one of the advantages of that is it's a flat file, whereas something like a MySQL is oftentimes harder to copy and whatnot. I would like to be able to make this possible to use with any database management system. The problem I have is that a lot of those from R, the interface doesn't support certain things that I need, like the binary data type, the raw type in R. So if you have ideas about that, let me know. But so it's SQLite is the answer. So. Right, so the question is, does it do a whole RNA-seq pipeline? So no, it doesn't do a whole RNA-seq pipeline. You can, there's a lot of packages you could use to like add on to Decipher to make it do these kind of things. But the idea is that, you know, right now RNA-seq is all the rage, but there's gonna be something else in a few years too. And I've tried to build it so that it's very extensible, so that people can add on to it or use it however flexibly that they want to, so that it's not just about one trend in biology, and it can be used when the DNA, when DNA sequences entirely change and our way of doing things is different in the future.
Thank you.
Okay, again, thanks. I'll just see you all this morning.